We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, our buddy Paul Hamilton joins us here on the West Her Hotline. Paul's appearances, of course, are always brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, Paul. Level of commitment to St. Patrick's Day for you? Are you totally into it? You don't really care at all? You halfway get into it? What is it for you?
I don't care at all. I don't get into it at all. I've never been to a St. Patrick's Day parade.
Do you wear green ever? Do you think about I should wear green today?
If the Sabres are playing a home game that night, are you wearing a St. Patrick's Day tie?
Well, I don't have a St. Patrick's Day tie.
How about something green?
I don't even know if I have a green tie. I don't think I do. So, yeah, no, I don't really. No, I don't.
No, no, I mean anything green. Would you think about, hey, I better put a shirt on that's green? Anything. It's not something that comes to your mind even, right?
I don't have a dress shirt that's green, so I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Man, Paul Hamilton, the St. Patrick's Day party pooper here today on the
Hotline. I have to admit.
What about the NCAA tournament? Is Iowa State even in it this year? I don't think so. I don't remember recalling their name coming across it.
Yes, we play today at 3.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
against Pitt.
So oh, that's right. That's the game against – I did take Pitt. I'm sorry, because I'm going with the ACC school. That's all. I'm sorry, buddy. I got to do that. By the way, did you hear this stat? The starting lineup for the Pitt Panthers basketball team, Paul, is older than the starting lineup for the Oklahoma City Thunder because they have all these transfers and 50-year guys they got in the portal.
Yeah, the Iowa State is a really old team, too. They got two transfers from the Bonnies.
That's right.
Are one of the reasons they're where they are. And I don't know what to – I can't tell you how they're going to do today because – in the Big 12, they beat all the top teams, and I mean every single one of them. They beat Kansas, Texas, all of them, and they lost to all of the bottom teams. They were the first team to lose to Texas Tech. They lost twice to Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, twice to West Virginia. So I don't know what to tell you. They beat Baylor 3 times. How do you beat Baylor 3 times, Kansas and Texas, and then lose twice to West Virginia and Oklahoma? So I don't know what to tell you. I have no idea how they're going to do today.
Well, we'll check that out. You can come down here to Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. That's where Joe and I are broadcasting live here on the Extra Point Show. And Paul joins us with the Sabres in Philadelphia tonight to take on the Philadelphia Flyers. Well, they keep getting help around the league. More help last night with some teams losing. But this is really coming down to you got to take care of business in your own backyard. You got to take care of business not necessarily even at home in your own backyard, but in your own games. Another big game for the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Paul, it feels like these are as close to must-win games as you can get at this point.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. The last game against Washington, you know, sometimes you get a feeling. Quite often, you'll see how a game's going, and you'll get a feeling, and you're like, this isn't going to go well, or, you know, they're fine. I was in the, they're fine category. I did not think they were going to blow that game. You know, when they got up, when it was 3-1, and I thought they're fine. You know, it's 4-2. They're not going to blow this game. They're fine. They seem to be playing okay, and so that one surprised me. I just didn't see that coming. That one where they wound up, they got a point out of it, but they wound up not getting a win out of it. And that one really took me a bit by surprise. So if you beat Philadelphia today, you go out on the road and you took, you know, 5 out of 6 points on the road. So that's pretty good. But then you look at it and look at the 1 point you didn't get, where you really should have. So I don't know. If they beat the Flyers, I don't know how you look at the whole thing, because how are you disappointed with 5 or 6 points on the road?
Yeah. The Washington game especially, Paul, I thought, you know, the start of the third period, they're getting, I mean, outplayed. Washington is kind of got them on their heels. They scored that goal early. When Granato called that timeout and then, you know, settled them down and they end up scoring only a couple of minutes after that, I thought, okay, that was the right time to do that, and it felt like it worked. And we were right. Like, for them to lose that game even after that sequence was stunning.
Yeah, after they scored that goal, I just thought, you know, they're fine. They're okay. You know, just didn't. As I said, sometimes you just get a feeling that, oh, they're going to blow this game, or, oh, yeah, they're fine. They're going to win this game or whatever. And usually the feeling is pretty close to being right. But it certainly wasn't in that game.
The Sabres take on the Flyers tonight in Philadelphia. Pregame at 6 here on WGR. The puck drops at 7 p.m. Of course, the call will be along the Sabres radio network here on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. You go back, if they do win tonight, or somehow you get a point, it'd be points in 4 straight games. At this point, though, Paul, I look back on the 8-game losing streak really being the big, big thing where they really, you know, that's the thing that hurt them the most this year. Even if you got points in 4 of those 8 games, the Sabres would be in a much better spot right now. It just goes to show you how consistency truly matters throughout the whole season. They put themselves in a tough spot. You said it, how many teams they had to leapfrog, and that was really right after. They had that 8-game losing streak. As well as they played the rest of the season, that 8-game losing streak, I'm going to lament that if they don't make this.
And how often do you play 8 straight games and not even get a point,
right,
a loser
right.
point, you know, out of it? And that's the thing. So you had 16 points there where you didn't get any, and they just came off a streak where 14 points were available and they got 3.
Yep.
You know, so that's 2 different streaks now this season that are fairly lengthy. You know, 16 points available to you, you got none. 14 points available to you, you got 3. And so I think if they don't make the playoffs this year, those are the 2 things I think you can go back and look at and say to yourself, all right, we missed by X amount of points. If we just could have picked up a few points in these streaks, you know, what could have happened?
Is there something to be said about that, Paul? The inconsistency, those types of lulls, like a team that's young and growing, like, is that to be expected from teams like that? Is there something to be said for having those moments, those streaks, those games, 2-week stretches maybe, for a team that's just kind of right there on the brink?
Yeah, it's a young team. I mean, that's what young teams do. And, you know, there should be a fairly large improvement this year. Whether they make 90 points, I don't know. That's kind of what I was looking at when the season started, that a good improvement would be 90 points. They'll be close. And I certainly wasn't looking for – I guess I was saying they're in a playoff race, not realizing the playoffs points were going to come way down. Yeah, because last year, to get in the playoffs, the Washington Capitals were the last team in with 100 points. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, all right, the Sabres could get around 90, but they're really not going to be in the playoffs because it's going to take – I knew 100 was high, but I didn't think it would come down now to, what, 95, 93, somewhere in there where you're going to have an opportunity to get in the playoffs. So I guess I was expecting them to be in a playoff run, but I didn't realize it because I'm thinking – 98, 99, 100 points is what it's going to take, and it's not.
Right. In a lot of years, even, it's at least, right, like 96, 97. For it to be down around, I don't know what the Islanders are on pace for now. I know that at one point they were on pace for like 92 was the cutoff, Paul. I mean, the Sabres being in a race, they were going to improve point-wise, it seemed, either way. But part of the reason they're in a race is there are teams that drop back to the pack, and we were wondering preseason whether or not that would happen, and it has. So I guess now the thing going forward, you know, this is more about next season, I guess, than this season, is can you improve again? Because Ottawa also improved from last year to this year. So did Detroit. Florida, I guess, is the other team that dropped back. you're not the Sabres aren't the only team that are taking steps.
Well, I think they can improve again, definitely. I mean, these players are going to be better for it in this race. By the way, I was just doing the math as you were talking. The Islanders are on a 91-point pace.
Okay.
Right now, and as we're talking, I'll do Florida too. But yeah, I think definitely as these guys have gone through something like this now, and you know, say to themselves, "All right, we have a chance." Florida's on a 90-point pace, so 91 for the okay. Islanders, Florida with 90. I think definitely they can look at it, you know, to be better. Their goaltending needs to be better. I think there's no question about that. How they go about it, we'll have to wait and see. But, I think the Sabres can definitely improve. It definitely will improve. And, all right, I was also doing the final math on the Sabres. So Islanders 91-point pace, Florida 90, Sabres 88 right now.
Well, Sabres need a big win tonight. They can change that a little bit. You know, they can put themselves in a different position, a better position. We'll see how it all shakes out. But in order to do that, Paul, what are we looking at tonight? Tell us, giving us an update on any injuries, scratches, goaltending.
It's going to be interesting if they come back with Anderson in this game. Anderson played Monday, so I would think he'd be ready. That should be a good enough rest for him Monday to Friday to be back in that if they'd like to go with him. Lukanen, I thought, had played a couple of really good games. I don't know if I would call the last game a really good game. I probably wouldn't. He's only played two shootouts, but they've been a huge problem. I mean, he's given up 5 goals on 5 shots, and quite honestly, he hasn't even been in the ballpark. It's almost been embarrassing how off he's been in the shootout. So that's a bit of a problem, knowing kind of like, all right, if we get the shootout, we have to be perfect because of what's going to happen in our net if he's in net. So that is a troubling part of it. But before that, he had played, you know, really good game against the Rangers, giving up 2, and I thought a really good game against the Islanders, you know, where he had given up 3. And I thought, even though he gave up 5 in the Boston game, he basically gave up 3. With 5 minutes left to go in the third period, it was 3-0 Boston. Then the empty netter made it 4, and his team stopped playing on him. And the last 2 goals certainly weren't his fault. So I thought he had put together, you know, 3 real pretty good games. And then the Washington game just, I realize he faced 39 shots, but it wasn't his best effort, I didn't think.
Paul, I'd like to hear you on Peyton Krebs. He was the third star of that game. He was the only Sabre with more than 1 point, and he made that. I mean, it was a great play to get it to Gergensen's that looked like it was the nail in the coffin at the time, and it didn't end up being. But I feel like of all the Sabres that have had big steps under Don Granato, a lot of times what you'll point to is the numbers, right? It's the point totals. It's Tuck and Skinner and Thompson, all these Cousins, all these guys having career highs. And there's Krebs. I mean, he's only on pace for 31 points. But I feel like I'd want to include him in that group of guys that have taken steps with Granato. But I guess the surprising thing to me is that he's done that, if you would agree with the fact that he's done that, without putting up the point totals.
Yeah, he hasn't scored in 14 games. I thought recently I didn't like his game. And the point totals would tell you that. He had only had 1 point in 7, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1 point in 6 games. And he's not a real goal scorer type of player anyway. He's more of an assist guy. But I hadn't really liked his game. Matter of fact, when we were thinking before Olsson sat out, which was a surprise because I just didn't think they ever were going to send him out, you know, I thought Krebs might have been the candidate. And it was Olsson instead, which was the right way to go, I think. So I thought that was a really good game for him against Washington. A little bit of a bounce back. But, again, he's a young player, so I didn't get real excited when I really hadn't liked his game for maybe 3, 4, or 5 games because, you know, that's what you get. You know, whether it's Paterka or Quinn or Krebs, those guys, it's some inconsistencies as we go along. And that's... You talked about getting an improvement last year. Those are guys where the inconsistencies aren't going to be as big next year. You know what I mean? It's going to be better where their game is going to be on more times than it's not. And I think that's where a lot of the improvement will come. Plus, whatever improvements they make to their roster, you know, I think Kulik is a guy that you could see here next year. I think Savoy is a guy you could see here next year. Whatever trades you might make during the off season. So you know that, and of course, what is the plan going to be in goal? What are you going to do there?
Well, on that note, I don't know if you read Elliot Friedman's 32 thoughts and kind of the buzz about Devin Levi. It has never been any worry necessarily, but until the ink is dry, he hasn't signed. And it sounds like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just starting to get a little bit worried here. I don't think that I have to go too far, but is there any possibility that this goes south?
Oh, sure. I mean, you never say never.
Right.
He and the Sabres have been close throughout this. I mean, to the point where when the Sabres have been in Boston, Devin Levi sat in a box with Kevin Adams and watched the game. You know, so, and he's the guy that Kevin Adams always talks about. You know, it wasn't that he didn't want to be in the NHL, no matter what organization he was in last year. He wanted to get another crack at the Richter Awards. Like, I did it once. I want to do it again. I want to prove that I can do it again. Now, he would have to do it again. If he wants to be an unrestricted free agent, he's got to go back to college and play another year. You know, does he want to do that? I mean, the question is, did he want to do it last year? Which means in order to get away from the Buffalo Sabres, he had to tack 2 years onto his college where he's not making any money at all in the NHL to do that. So, yeah, you never say never. But I've never got an inkling that he's looking at the Sabres organization as a place that, that's not for him. And he should, unlike what Eric Portillo would have been made to feel like, Levi should feel like a king, because they've basically, without saying it, have said it, you're our guy.
Yeah,
when
sure.
When you get here, maybe not the minute you get here, but, you know, within a year or two, you're our guy type of a thing. So everything they've done and their actions maybe speak louder. Their words and their actions have said that they believe Levi's their guy long term.
That's for sure. And reading just the sentiment I got reading the way Friedman described it, it was he's talking about the Sabres not wanting to upset Levi or his team with any rumor that they would trade for a goaltender, and then talking about Levi, you know, liking non-traditional development paths. And all of that, Paul, sounded to me like a guy that just doesn't have much interest in being in Rochester. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm wondering more and more if he says, I want to be in the NHL the moment I show up, I wonder what they would do with that.
And I'm wondering what team would tell him that, would give him that. Maybe there's a team out there, but that would be a pretty tall order to tell a goaltender coming out of college that we're just going to throw you in. If you sign with us, we're just going to throw you in the NHL. Forget about development. You know, and
especially
that doesn't
in a team in a playoff race.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound like Devin Levi. You know, the things that he has said in the past about how, you know, he stayed in midget hockey a year longer than than others do, because he wanted to increase his development. So that doesn't, you know, that I don't know, to me that wouldn't seem like the Devin Levi that I've heard about. Even the guy I talked to during development camp when he was here.
Yeah.
And again, I'll say never say never. I'm not in his head. I'm not in his agent's head. I mean, it's certainly that's a possibility that he's saying that, but it would certainly be a surprise unless. You know, they're also saying, well, we don't want to get stuck down there for 3 years.
Yeah,
sure. You know, yeah, maybe we'd go down there for a year or something like that. But NHL teams, they want everybody to, quote, earn it. And, well, not professional sports. I just want to hold it to the NHL. I mean, they want you, if you're gonna play, they want you to earn it.
Well, and that's where I wonder, Paul, if he and the team both agree, if you come up and you show up and you prove it, that you're ready, like and I'm talking more for, I guess, next year than the rest of this season. If you prove it, we're not going to block you from doing it. And then I start to wonder, okay, well, what else do I have at the position if I'm not going to block him? Because even you've talked about, like, the way Comrie's played this year, you're probably going to want to pivot. But if you have brought in another goalie this offseason and you have Lukanen in here, and then Levi shows up at the beginning of camp and he feels like he's earned it, and they feel like he's done a reasonable job to earn it. I mean, are we talking about three goalies again, or are we talking about somebody that doesn't rate enough so that it's Levi in the NHL? I guess I wonder what the rest of the position looks like if they just at all costs don't want to block him.
If I were Adams, I would be looking for a goalie that's no more than a two-year contract, no more, and ideally a one-year deal. I'd be looking at the guy. I try to improve my goaltending, but I'd be trying to do it with maybe getting a goalie as one more year left on his contract or something like that. I certainly wouldn't be looking anything more than that because, again, I would want to block this kid. And, you know, that's what I kept saying leading up to the trade deadline. Everybody kept talking about they got to go get a goalie. They got to get a goalie. I'm saying, I don't think they're out there looking for a goalie. I really don't. And that's one of the reasons why, just because what we're talking about here or what Elliot was talking about, that, you know, they got upset when there were people out there trying to say that they're looking for a goalie, and they really weren't, and it didn't make sense to me why they would be. I didn't think they were either. And, you know, I thought there were other things that they might have been looking for, like a defenseman or trying to get guys who are harder to play against, which they did, but I didn't think they were out looking for a goalie, and that just kind of puts another... You know, Elliot didn't think so either, and they actually thought it went the other way, that they didn't want people to think they were.
All right, Paul, we got to run. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Try and enjoy it, will you, okay? Let's have a nice enjoying St. Patrick's
well,
Day.
Enjoy
the game today, Iowa State. Good luck to your Cyclones,
have
too.
Some corned beef tonight.
There you go.
Yeah, they play at 3. I do like corned beef, so, yeah. Right,
there you go. There you go.
And, of course, we'll look forward to your reports at PHAM1717 on Twitter, WGR550.com. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
All right, when we come back, real quick, I got – two hockey questions for you. One, just an interesting question about these things we just talked about.
Yep.
The other, you said something maybe a month and a half ago I disagreed with, but I think I agree with you now.
Okay.
I'll say what that is
and,
when we come back.
And on the Levi thing, if we mention that when we come back,
yeah.
I have one thing no one's brought up.
Ooh.
As a potential scenario for
okay,
him.
We'll do that when all we come right. back. That's part of what I want to bring up, too, and we'll tie it all in on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.